Amen. Thank you for that, Sister Angela. Thank you so much. It takes a lot to admit what she's talking about, and she's just the example that God has used to kind of show us where we are. We're all there. We all need to work on humility. Amen? Can you say that a little louder? All of us, from the pulpit to the pew, to the parking lot. Yes, sir, you got some. I can't let you do that right now. We want to go ahead and get into the Word, and maybe later we could do that, okay? All right. We're gonna go back to our Hebrews chapter 12. We're still working there in Hebrews 12, and there's so many other things have come in between that, Palm Sunday and Easter and Mother's Day, and so it's sort of can't say it broke it up, but we're gonna go back. The last time we studied the book of Hebrews, we ended on Hebrews 12:17, and but you know that how that afterwards, when he would have inherited the blessing, talking about Esau, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. And this particular verse spoke of Esau, who sold his birthright to his younger brother, Jacob. And what this did was it caused Esau to miss the most important blessing that he would ever receive in his life, and that would be the blessing of the firstborn. That would be his birthright. He despised his birthright. When they say despised, that means he did not properly value his birthright. And he was concerned more about being faint and hungry than he was with the end that he was headed for. And so as a result, even though he tried with all he had to get his father to bless him, his father couldn't bless him because he had already passed the birthright over to his younger brother Jacob. This was a warning to the Hebrews to not take salvation as offered to them for granted. It was a warning. And of course, the Hebrews were struggling about staying in Christianity or going back to the operations of the law. And the writer of Hebrews was trying to convince them that what you got is so much greater and so much better than what you had under the law. And so don't despise your birthright. And we all have a birthright, and that birthright is in Jesus Christ. And let us not despise it, and let us not look lightly upon it. In the next section of Scripture, the writer of Hebrews in chapter 12, 18 through 24, gives a contrast. He's contrasting two different situations. The first one, the writer reminds the Hebrews in verse 18 through 21 where they are not to, is telling him where they are not. And we're going to talk about where they are not today. And then in verse 22 through 24, he tells where they are. And we'll probably save that for next time, because when I started going into where they were not, it became pretty involved. And so he then charges them in verse 25 to pay attention to the one who speaks from heaven. Then verse 26 through 27 describes the activity and power and the word that was spoken. So finally, Hebrews 12, 28 and 29 will conclude the chapter, and it will be concluded with an encouragement that is given. So let's go ahead and pray, and then we'll get into our scripture today. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to be here. Some of us are tired. Some of us are fighting discouragement. Some of us are fighting pride and different things. Lord, we come under attack in so many different ways, and sometimes we don't see it coming. But one thing we know, the attacks do come. And we thank you, Lord, for preparing us and for touching our lives and even our bodies, even to be here today. We magnify your name, O God, and we hope to move forward with the message that you have for us, and that we will be in a place and open to receive your truth, that I'll be in a place, Lord, to speak your truth in a manner that's pleasing to you, out of your way and out of everyone else's way, and that everyone would also get out of their own way for this time to receive what thus saith the Lord into our hearts this day. And it is in the name of Jesus we do pray. Amen. Hebrews 12:18 says, "For ye are not come unto the mount that might be touched, and that burned with fire, nor unto blackness and darkness and tempest, and the sound of a trumpet, and the voice of words, which voice they that heard entreated that the word should not be spoken to them any more. For they could not endure that which was commanded. And if so much as a beast touch the mountain, it shall be stoned or thrust through with a dart. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake." It seems that because of the intricate details of the incident that's mentioned here in Hebrews 12:18-21, the best way for us to illustrate these few verses is to go through and study Exodus chapter 19, verse 1 through 20-26. So let's turn over there to Exodus chapter 19. It's right after Genesis. Way back, way back. We're going to walk through Exodus because because the Lord said walk through it, I guess. That's a great reason. Exodus 19, verse 1. Now you remember, and we've spoken often about them coming out of Egypt. What happened? How he brought them out. The Bible says with a mighty hand. You know, he brought you out of sin with a mighty hand. You do know that sin is a terrible taskmaster. It does not let go. Somebody's got to hit sin on the knuckles until the knuckles turn white and it can't hold no more. It had to be something powerful to break us out of this prison. So now we fight. But the Bible calls it a good fight of faith. Because if you think that sin is going to leave you alone, you got another thing coming. It's going to continually come at you and try to convince you that you had a good thing and you should never have left. But ain't nothing but a lie. Now you got a good thing. And so anyway, he brought them out of Egypt. And verse 1 here in Exodus 19 says, "In the third month, when the children of Israel were gone forth out of the land of Egypt, the same day came they into the wilderness of Sinai." So they were 3 months out of Egypt already, and they made it into a wilderness of Sinai. They were departed from Rephidim, and were come to the desert of Sinai, and had pitched in the wilderness, and there Israel camped before the mount. Moses went up unto God, up into the mountain, and the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, "Thus shalt thou say to the house of Israel, and tell the children of Israel, ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians." He's reminding them of the 10 plagues, "and how I bare you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself. Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine." So in other words, I own everything, but I'm ready to make you special above everything else that I own. That's what he was saying. "And ye shall be unto me a kingdom, a priest, and a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel." You do know that they never became the kingdom of priests and the holy nation that God called them to be. But we did. We did. "And Moses came and called for the elders of the people and laid before their faces all these words which the Lord commanded him. And all the people answered together and said, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. And Moses returned the words of the people unto the Lord. And the Lord said unto Moses, lo, I come unto thee in a thick cloud that the people may hear when I speak with thee and believe thee forever. So God is about to do something very powerful. As though the 10 plagues weren't enough, he was about to do something even greater. And Moses told the words of the people unto the Lord. And the Lord said unto Moses, go unto the people and sanctify them today and tomorrow. That means set them apart. Let them wash their clothes and be ready against the third day. That is 3 days of preparation. For the third day, the Lord will come down in the sight of all the people upon Mount Sinai. You remember another third day? Y'all remember another special third day when Jesus rose? And thou shalt set bounds unto the people round about, saying, take heed to yourselves that ye go not up into the mount, or touch the border of it. Whosoever toucheth the mount shall be surely put to death. He was very strict. There shall not be a hand, there shall not a hand touch it, but he shall surely be stoned or shot through, whether it be beast or man, it shall not live. When the trumpet sound long, they shall come up to the mount. And Moses went down from the mount unto the people and sanctified the people, and they washed their clothes, so they began to obey. And he said unto the people, be ready against the third day, come not to your at your wives. And it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunders and lightning and a thick cloud upon the mount, and the voice of the trumpet exceeding loud, so that all the people that was in the camp trembled. And Moses brought forth the people out of the camp to meet with God, and they stood at the nether part of the mount. Remember, our Hebrew scripture says that you haven't done this. And he was talking to the Hebrews of his day. In Hebrews 18, I remind you, he says, ye have not come unto the mount that might be touched and that burned with fire unto the blackness and darkness of the tempest. That's what the Hebrew scripture 12 was telling us. And he was telling the Hebrews of his day, you haven't gone through this. You haven't had to endure this. You haven't dealt with the sound of the trumpet or the voice of words, which voice they that heard entreated that he would not speak to them. He is explaining to the Hebrews, you're thinking that you got it bad, but you didn't have to go through what they went through. Well, we still aren't there yet to see the effect of this on those people. And the mount, verse 18 in Exodus 19, and the Mount Sinai was altogether on smoke, because the Lord descended upon it in fire. And the smoke thereof ascended as the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mount quaked greatly. And when the voice of the trumpet sounded long and waxed louder and louder, Moses spake, and God answered him by a voice. Now you imagine if you were at the foot of a mountain, and it was okay, and all of a sudden, at a certain time, it began to quake. Smoke appeared on the mountain and began to ascend from the mountain. There was a mountain that was quaking. There was a trumpet being blown, but it was not just a ta-da, ta-da. Every time it blowed, it got louder and louder and louder and louder and louder. This is what they were dealing with. And God wanted to show them something. He wanted to show them his glory so that they would believe Moses. That was his purpose for doing it. That's what he said. And Moses spoke to God, and the Bible says that God answered with a voice. That means they heard the voice of God. I hear the voice of God, but I hear it in different ways now. I don't hear like I hear your voice, but I know it's him. Because my activities are formed by what I hear. And a hearing becomes a different kind of hearing now. It's a spiritual kind of a hearing. It's an inward hearing, or it's an inward knowing. It's an epinosis kind of a knowing. It's a spiritual revelation that God gives us. We hear that. When you say, man, God told me, they say, well, did you hear an audible voice? Well, you've just been a wise guy, or you're being ignorant. That means you do not understand what's going on. God speaks by his spirit now, but here he spoke by his voice. They heard a voice. There's a reason why he speaks by his spirit now. And it says, and the Lord came there in verse 20. And the Lord came down upon Mount Sinai on the top of the mount. And the Lord called Moses up to the top of the mount. And Moses went up. And the Lord said unto Moses, go down, charge the people, lest they break through unto the Lord to gaze and many of them perish. And let the priests also which come near to the Lord sanctify themselves, lest the Lord break forth upon them. And Moses said unto the Lord, the people cannot see. God told this man something to do. You know what he did? He disagrees. He stands there and he argues with God. Y'all know anything about arguing with God? I saw you smile, Sister Janet. Yeah, he argued with God, pretty much. He said, the people cannot come up to Mount Sinai without charges. You told us not to, saying, set bounds about the mount and sanctify it. Moses was looking at the people like he was looking at himself. God told Moses to do something, he did it. God told Moses not to do something, he didn't do it. He told Moses to come somewhere, he went. He told Moses to go somewhere, he went there. And he's saying, you know, if it was me, I wouldn't come. And so they ain't not going to come. God said, you need to go down there and deal with these people here. And the Lord said unto him, away, away, get down, and thou shalt come up, thou and Aaron with thee, and let not the priest and the people break through to come up unto the Lord, lest he break forth upon them. So Moses finally went down unto the people and spake unto them. God knows more than we know. Come on, I heard one amen. Well, we need to get used to this, because the sooner we embrace this, the better off we'll be. I say we. Amen. I say we. Me, you, us, all of us. The sooner we do this. I heard a man talking about that the other day, and something inside of me was like, I didn't like it so much, right? But he was right. Oh, what about what I know? What about what? Who said that? You said that. What about me? What about what I know? But he was the one that was right. So that part in me, that the prideful part of me was trying to see. I'm not owning it. I'm just saying that this is how we're made. When you see that part come up in you, you need to know what's going on. You don't need to say, oh, poor me. I'm just another old dirty sinner. Well, yeah, in a way of speaking, yes, but that's a part in us that just works naturally. It's like a program. That baby runs. Until you change that, till that program is changed and you switch it to run on the new program, it'll just keep running. It's like a program. The stimulus response. You press enter and it goes. And so we got to know that about us. We don't have to, you know, walk around and say, I'm just in and out of sin and I'm just a sinner, sinner. Okay. As long as you need that, okay. But when you recognize who you are in Christ, you can confront that thing and say, oh, shut up. Sit down. Get thee hence. Oh, in today's vernacular, get out my face. You can use that. That's the holy language there. Get out of my face. Do you know that thing will curl up and crawl away? It will. You got the power. You got authority. Wayne talked about praying for his daughter and how God moved in. God touched the salesman's heart. He touched everybody's heart in there. You know, you ever been? Sometimes folks say, "I don't know why I'm doing this. I don't know why I'm doing this." You say, "I know why you're doing it," and they do it because God touches hearts. He opens doors. He makes crooked ways straight. We're going to move on to chapter 20. We made a pretty nice little trek through that. That was good. And God spake all these words. Now remember, they had seen the mount quake. They had seen the smoke, and they had heard the trumpet sound. And not just the trumpet, but every time it sounded, it got louder and louder and louder and louder and louder. And then he had to send Moses down and say, hey, stop them. Don't let them come up here. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. Now, this right here baffled me for a long time. Visiting the iniquity of the fathers and the children unto the third and the fourth generation of them that hate me. Now, for years I applied that to my Christian walk. And it sort of bothered me because I was concerned about my children, about my children's children, and on and on and on. But we got to remember, this was not spoken to you, Gentiles. It was spoken to the Jews. And you'll go places and you'll hear messages right now that they're taking, they'll weave this in to the gospel message. And this is a law message, and they're taking their, and they'll do it a lot. They'll weave a law message into a gospel message and make it a law. And it'll saddle us in a situation where you can't do it. Only Christ kept the law. So here you are under grace trying to keep the law. Men, no man has ever kept the law but one. So, you know, we have to watch that. So I just stopped to let you know that for many, many years I struggled with just that one verse, with the generations and the fathers and the mothers and that type thing, when he was talking to the Jews at the time and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Verse 7, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days thou shalt labor and do thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservants, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. And all the people saw the thunders and the lightnings and the noise of the trumpets and the mountains smoking. Now, here in this situation, I want you to know, and just want to point out to you, that this is the first and only time in the Old Testament where the commandments were spoken by God. And it was spoken to people. God spoke these commandments himself in an audible voice to the people, because it says that he lifted up his voice and he began to speak. So God spoke the commandments to the people. Verse 18, and all the people saw the thunderings and the lightning and the noise of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they removed and stood afar off. And this is what they said unto Moses, speak thou unto us, and we will hear. But let not God speak with us, lest we die. That is a key pivotal point there in this story. Moses said unto the people, fear not, for God has come to prove you, and that his fear may be before your face, that ye sin not. And the people stood afar off, and Moses drew near unto the thick darkness where God was. And the Lord said unto Moses, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, ye have seen that I have talked with you from heaven. He spoke. Ye shall not make with me gods of silver, neither shall ye make unto you gods of gold. An altar of earth thou shalt make unto me, and shalt sacrifice thereon by burnt offerings and by peace offerings, thy sheep and thine oxen in all places where I record my name. I will come unto thee, and I will bless thee. And if thou wilt make me an altar of stone, thou shalt not build it of hewn stone. For if thou lift up thy tool upon it, thou hast polluted it. Neither shalt thou go up by steps unto mine altar, that thy nakedness be not discovered thereon. He was telling them, if you're going to have an altar for me, grab it from the earth, get it from the earth, but don't chisel it, don't foul it, don't sow it, don't do anything to this particular altar, because if you do it, it will be polluted. And he would not accept it. That's what he was telling them. He says, if you're going to present an altar to me, this is how he said he wanted it. This is how he wanted it done. And so, in that instance, they saw the effects of God on the mountain. They heard the noises and felt the quake, saw the quake. I mean, it didn't say they felt the quake, it said they saw the quake. They saw the mountain quaking. So they stood and they were watching the mountain doing whatever mountains do that quake. I've never stood for a volcano, but this wasn't a volcano. And the smoke comes up from a volcano, but this wasn't a volcano because no moat, whatever the stuff that comes, the lava didn't come out of it. They saw this and they said something. They said, you speak to us, but not him. We're too afraid for him to talk to us. You speak to us. You talk to us. The commandments of God were spoken directly to the people during Exodus 20, verse 1 through 7. He spoke directly to the people. But they were not written in stone. Remember? Have you ever thought? And I have for many times thought that the Ten Commandments were only provided once. Not true. More. It was given verbally the first time by God. But it wasn't written in stone until Exodus 24. You can see that in 1 through 18 and 31, verse 18 in Exodus. It was written in stone the first time. That's when God wrote it in stone. Then in Exodus 24, 12 through 31, 18, God dictated again the entire system of worship and building of the temple for Moses to do. And it was 40 days that he was there doing that. And Moses went up on the mount to receive this dictation. During the first 40 days that Moses was in the mount with God, the children of Israel, through Aaron, made this infamous golden calf. They went to Aaron and said, we need you to make us a god, because as for this Moses, we don't know what's happened to him. He stayed up there 40 days. And they made this infamous golden calf, and they worshiped it as the God that brought them out of Egypt. As the God that brought them out of Egypt. And Aaron went along with it. He got their gold and melted it down and made it into a calf. When Moses came down from the mount, he took the first two tablets that God made, and he broke them. He broke them. He was so angry. Now, God was angry before Moses came down. But he said, the people have created an idol. Get out of the way. I'll destroy them in a moment. And Moses talked him out of it. He says, repent, because they're going to say you brought them out of Egypt. You couldn't take care of them. You brought them out of Egypt into this wilderness to kill them. So God repented, the Bible says, of it. But when Moses came down, Moses got mad when he saw the people were having a party and having a good time. And they had this golden calf that they had made out of metal. And he had the stones in his hand, and he was so mad he broke the stones. Broke them. Now, that's mad. Then in Exodus 34, 28 through 29, the second two tables of commandments were given to Moses by God. Exodus 34, 28, verse 29. So yes, there were two sets of tables of stones that were given, but there was more to it. And so the commandments were given on three separate occasions. Three. Exodus 20, verse 1 through 7, when they were spoken directly by God. Exodus 24, 12 and 31, 18, when God gave Moses two tables of stone, which the Bible says were written with the finger of God. That means God wrote them himself. He was very personally involved in this. The first time he personally spoke, God really reached out to Israel and wanted to be their personal God. He was pretty awesome, and they couldn't deal with his awesomeness. But he spoke to them personally, and then he wrote the first set of commandments that says with the finger of God and gave them to Moses. And then in Exodus 34, 1 and 34, 28 and 29, either he wrote them again or he dictated it to Moses. This last set, God told him, you go and hew out two tables and come up and I will give you. He said, I will write the commandments again for you. So it was three occasions that the commandments came forth. And so I'm not exactly sure. It sounds at one point that Moses did it. It sounds at another point that God did it. I know that God provided a second and a second set of tables of stone, but he had given the commandments three times, verbally and two times in writing. That's God. Now, in Deuteronomy 18, 15 through 19, it has an interesting twist in today's lesson. Very interesting to me. Moses said this to the children of Israel. He said, the Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like me, unto him you will hear, or hearken. You will hear. And then he says, according to all that thou desirest of the Lord thy God in Horeb. That's the mount. That mountain where it quaked and shook and all of that. He said, now God is doing this according to what you requested in the mount. In the Mount Horeb, in the day of the assembly, when they said this, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, neither let me see this great fire any more, that I die not. That was their request. And so he says, based upon what you've requested God, he's going to send you a prophet like me. Him will you hear. That's what he said. That's why. And the prophet, we know who the prophet came out to be. Like me. And it says, and the Lord said unto me, they have well spoken that which they have spoken. Verse 18 of Deuteronomy 18, he said, I will raise them up a prophet. In other words, I'm through trying to talk to them like the first way I presented. God gave them this opportunity and he wanted this kind of a relationship with them. But since they requested this, he said, I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren, like unto me, and will put my words in his mouth. And he shall speak unto them all that I command him. And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken or hear my words, that's what he's saying, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it. I will judge him. Absolutely. Absolutely. And in verse 19 here, it's very interesting. God said that the words that the prophet would speak was God's word. It was God's word that God was talking with Moses at the time. The God that was talking to Moses at the time is the same one whose words were going to be spoken by this prophet. That was way back in Deuteronomy. The prophet spoken of, as my brother just said in Deuteronomy 18, is none other than Christ Jesus. That's the prophet that he was talking about. The Messiah he was telling them about. 2 Corinthians 5:19 tells us that to wit that God was in Christ. He was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses and sins unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. I know Christ was the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. I know that. And we see and say, he slew Christ from the foundation of the world and he sent him all the way down for me. Now, and that's true, you see. But that's a kind of a single-minded way of thinking of things. God is not like that. He is omnipotent. He's omniscient. He knows all things at one time. And so while we can see linearly how Christ came down and all he did, he sees omnisciently the whole thing. And so he provided for the children of Israel a Messiah in the fact that they rejected him, the actual connection with God himself there. He said, well, I'll tell you what, I'll do this for you. I'll send you a prophet. That's what he said. You'll hear him. I'll send you a prophet. And the prophet is Christ. Now, In John 14, 8 through 11, there was an interesting discussion there, just kind of in the mouth of two or three witnesses. Philip says to Jesus there, Lord, show us the Father, and that would be enough. Show us the Father, in John 14, 8 through 11. And Jesus said this to him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me? Philip, he that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. And he said in John 10:30, I and my Father are one. That same Father, back, way back in Exodus, that shook the mountain, the same one that spoke the word that said a prophet will come. Now, here's another interesting point that the Lord showed him. He makes a declaration there back in Deuteronomy. I'm sorry I go back and forth, but that's kind of how it came. He makes a declaration back in Deuteronomy 32:21. He says, they have moved me to jealousy with that which is not God. They have provoked me to anger with their vanities, and I will move them to jealousy with those which are not a people. I will provoke them to anger with a foolish nation. That's a wicked nation. That's a vile nation. That's everybody but Jews. Hey, that's everybody but Jews. That's what he's talking about. He says, I'm going to provoke you with a foolish nation. You provoke me with your calf, your golden calf, and your idol. They worship idols so often. They believed him so little, and they continue to provoke him. He said, well, I'm going to provoke you. But I'm going to provoke you with a foolish nation. The New Testament portion of this particular verse in Deuteronomy 32:21 is Romans 10. And so Romans 10 comes back and it backs up what God has said. It says there in verse 18 in Romans 10, but I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily their sound went unto all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world. But I say, did Israel not know? First Moses saith, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation I will anger you. And then there in Romans 11, verse 10 through 12, it says, let their eyes be darkened, that they may not see, and bow down their back always. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? They're talking about Israel now. Have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid. But rather, through their fall, salvation is come unto the Gentiles, for to provoke them to jealousy. Now, if the fall of them be the riches of the world, and the diminishing of them the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? You know, I've been used before, and it hasn't been pleasant. Do you like it when people use you? I hate to be used, because it's always to my detriment when I'm used, except for this right here. He is using us to provoke his people to jealousy. This is the only time I've been used, and I'm glad about it. This is the only time he is using me to provoke them to jealousy. He's using the Gentiles to provoke his people to jealousy. So finally, I've been used and I like it. And learned to like it. I've been used and I like it. Hallelujah. Because I benefit. It's the first time I've been used and I benefited from it. Hallelujah. Romans 11:25 and through 36 says, for I would not, brethren. Now here's another thing. If the fall of them, it says, I'm going to go back to 12 in Romans 10. If the fall of them be the riches of the world, that means the world benefited, so God would, I guess, pour everything in them, and the diminishing of them, backing away, was the richness of the Gentiles, wow. How much more when God restores them fully? What in the world is he going to do? Now, Romans 11:25 through 36. For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. Blindness in part has happened to Israel, but it says in part, and it's to our benefit. And so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins. As concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sake. That's my sake, your sake. But as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sake. For the gift and calling of God are without repentance. For as ye in times past have not believed God, and that was a time we didn't, yet have now obtained mercy through their unbelief. It's because of the unbelief of the Jews that we've obtained mercy. Even so have these also now not believed, that through your mercy they may obtain mercy. For God hath concluded them all in unbelief, that he might have mercy upon all. So, we ought to be merciful to the Jews. Because of their fall, we obtained mercy. That's what it's telling us. And we ought to be merciful to the Jews. In other words, their day is coming. Verse 33 says, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways of past finding out. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor, or who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again? For of him, and through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. Concluded. Concluded. He's concluded them all in unbelief, that he might have mercy upon all. But it says, oh, the riches of the depth of the knowledge of the wisdom of God. And you know, we just don't have his mind. Yeah. Who has first given to him, and it shall not be paid back? Don't worry. You'll get your pay. He'll recompense you. Don't worry. Don't be looking around looking at what he gives someone else. You thank God for what he gives you. So of him, and through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. God is going to do some things that it's not going to match what we think is right, or what we think is fair, or what we think is equitable. But he's more right, he's more fair, and he's more equitable than all of us in this room put together. Because we see a little here and we see a little there, but God sees and he knows all. And so let's just get ready and just be glad that God has given you what he's given you, and that you are who you are in Christ, and you know you, and who you were and what you were before Christ. Don't you remember that? And you know who and what you are now. And you sure enough ain't the same. If God changed your life, you are not the same. So we just give God the glory for what he's done and who he is in our lives. Amen. I'm so glad for what he's done. Amen. Well, Father, thank you for your word today. And we are so blessed to hear how you dealt with Israel. And so glad that we don't have to go through the quaking and the fire. And we say, oh, I could take it. But we weren't there. We've never seen a mountain shake. We've never seen all of a sudden the smoke ascending from a mountain. We've never heard trumpets that we can't see anybody playing it, and they get louder and louder and louder. We haven't heard you speak from your own personal voice, which has got to be an awesome, powerful experience, probably very fearful experience. But we have heard you, and we see you every day. And we thank you, Lord, that you've given us mercy, and for what you have done in Israel to cause us to be where we are today. Father, we pray for Israel today. Right now, they're surrounded by enemies. Little Israel. There are a whole lot more of them than there are of Israel. They want the little land that Israel has, and they want to destroy them. But I'm so glad they can't do a thing to Israel. because you have them covered. Bless Israel and keep them safe. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hallelujah. God bless you.